Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mark Hockman.
When I'm at the cash pop machine, that is when I look my sexiest. We are going to get buck wild.
Go suck an egg.
Channing Crowder.
Hey, hey, Sugarfoot.
Small bladder. Big urethra.
Alejandro Solana.
Birds are expert hunters. They eat seeds.
This is how we do it.
Sports.
Pizza always tastes better if someone refers to it as...
I'm going to kick you in the ankle.
Yeah, I don't think people can sometimes grasp the enormity of the oceans.
More sports.
I'll put this asparagus on it.
That song is a banger.
That song do be right.
The most sports.
On the mound for the Marlins. Hello.
I'm a 3-and-D guy.
What would Jesus do?
I don't know.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
That music can mean only one thing. It is game day, Monday Night Football. Dolphins can save us from a morass of crap that we all sat through this weekend, which I'll get to in a moment. We have an abbreviated show today, so I want to make sure we get all our messages in so that you know everything that's going on. So before we get underway, I want to talk about this very big event coming up Saturday. We've all heard, you know, men have to be strong and men have to be tough. But when it comes to our health, we need to be smart, especially if we're 45 years old or older. That's why I invite you to join Alonzo Mourning and other special guests, including Dan Marino and Ed Jovanovski at the Miami Heat Men's Health Summit to learn how to take a proactive approach to your health from some of the country's most renowned health experts. The Miami Heat Men's Health Summit is this Saturday, starting at 9:30 a.m. You'll enjoy fun activities, giveaways, raffles for autographed prizes, and more. There's no time to waste. Come and get a health screening like Alonzo Mourning did. It saved his life. It can save yours. It's go time. It's Zotime. Learn more at baptisthealth.net/Zotime. That's baptisthealth.net/Zotime. All right. Here's what we have, and it's a two-hour Hockman and Crowder show today. It was a truly awful weekend for Florida football and football. And I don't know, I'm guessing you all have seen the Tim Reynolds tweet by now, Tim Reynolds from the AP, but I thought it was pretty fascinating. This has never happened, ever. Florida's FBS, FCS, and NFL teams are a combined 0-11 on the same weekend. Only the Dolphins tonight can save the state right now. But in FBS football, FAU, Florida, Miami, FSU, USF, and UCF all lost. In the FCS, FAMU, Bethune, Stetson, all lost. In the NFL, the Jaguars, the Buccaneers, both lost. And now if we expand it to football, Inter Miami lost on Saturday. They get bounced in the first round of the MLS playoffs after setting a record. We had kind of talked about it. And again, Crowder and I are not the most knowledgeable about MLS or really any type of soccer, but this ranks up there as one of the most disappointing finishes in all of Miami sports seasons. It just does.
Yeah. Is Canes or Inter Miami bigger? Because Inter Miami was supposed to be the monster.
Well, Canes, like, I mean, I said it a million times. Like, the Canes, you can't, it's very tough to go through a season without a loss. They still control their own destiny. Win the next two games that they've got on the schedule. They're going to be in the ACC championship game. The Inter Miami loss is seismic. Like, that's international news. It's, it's, you know, I mean, we talked about it when Messi first came here. That's LeBron going to play for, you know, an Israeli team with Patrick Beverley and then losing in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, that's Michael Jordan, you know, at the tail end of his prime, but still, I mean, just having come off a World Cup victory two seasons prior, like, this is a seismic loss, not just for Inter Miami, but for the league, like MLS and Apple TV, they feel that, what happened on Saturday.
And I know what Georgia Tech did. I can break down the football side of it. I don't know what happened on the football side of it. How the hell?
Solana was there. You were there, Solana. How? What happened?
Yeah, so first of all, to put it in even better context, Atlanta United was the 9 seed in MLS this year. They had an interim manager. They had to fire their manager throughout the season. They had an interim manager, and Inter Miami still over 3 games. It wasn't one game, right? You could rationalize, hey, one game, this team got the better of you. Over 3 games, Inter Miami was played very, very well against Atlanta United. And what they did was they stacked the middle of the field. They defended extraordinarily well. And all season long, despite Inter Miami being able to win the points record and to have 220 or more goal scorers in Suarez and in Messi, they were susceptible all season long to counterattacks. And what did Tata Martino choose to do without Sergio Busquets, who's their best defender, their best central holding defender, and Yannick Bright, who was out after game 2, got hurt in Atlanta United? He chose to play a more attacking style, to go press high and to just score as many goals as possible. And Atlanta United defended well. They kept Messi in check. Messi really didn't have a big impact on the game, even though if you look at the box score, he had a goal, he had an assist. And they attacked on the counter, and they executed their 3 chances on the counterattack. And they beat Inter Miami, just playing grinded out, disgusting soccer. And it worked.
I'm guessing if you do that, and again, I have a rudimentary knowledge of soccer, if you're going to play that style, when you do get an opportunity, you have to capitalize on it. Yeah, and they did. So you're kind of taking a gamble, like, hey, we might get 2 or 3 opportunities to capitalize this entire match. And if we capitalize on those, we're golden.
Yeah. And their goalkeeper, I tweeted out after the game, Brad Guzan. I mean, this isn't like some random MLS guy. He has national team experience. He played in England. Like, he's a very, very good goalkeeper. He's towards the tail end of his career. Build that dude a statue outside of Chase Stadium, because he had Messi, Suarez frustrated after they scored the second goal to tie it, Messi's header. Leo Campana came, shoved him. Suarez was in his face. Like,
I saw Guzan, that video. That video was great.
Guzan was chirping at him the entire game, and the dude is a legitimate captain, worthy of that captainship. And he was in their heads the entire game, but he just made save after save the entire series. And again, Atlanta United, just look at their second goal. Turnover in the midfield. Inter Miami has players up rather than back. The middle of the field is exposed one-on-one. Multiple one-on-ones throughout the game. And Atlanta, they executed. They capitalized on those chances. That's what you do in soccer when you're out-talented, right? The other team has more talent. You can't go out there and try to beat them at their own game. You play closed in the back, and you try to take advantage of all your set pieces and all your counterattacks. They played it to a T.
I always play closed in the back.
Tell you what, man. That's the end of that. It was fun while it lasted.
You know what? It's funny. I started this, and I'm going to say that Solana was explaining the soccer side, and like you said, Hawk, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. It's kind of what Georgia Tech did to UM. You have more talent. We're going to slow this game down. We're going to get to 3rd and 2. We're going to get 3 yards, and we're going to do it again and again and again and again. Boring-ass game, and it played right into Georgia Tech's hands.
Right. If you're going to – if you're rolling the dice on that style and you can actually capitalize and Miami's defense, we know, is a little bit suspect, so it's a little bit easier to capitalize.
I didn't know the front seven was going to let that happen. I knew the secondary can get taken advantage of. I didn't know that front seven could let 19 guys run for 80 yards apiece. Like, that makes me question this playoff run, watching how Georgia Tech.
It's certainly, and again, it's one game, and like I said, it's so difficult to go undefeated for an entire season. But you did watch that game and go, ooh, has it been an illusion, and are we in for a rude awakening when it's playoff time?
Their goal was to keep Cam Ward off the field. Cam Ward can go throw for 500. Not with seven series. He needs 12 series to throw for 500. So let's keep him on the sideline and have long-ass, boring drives. Go in there and get a touchdown on the third and goal from the two. And go do something, Cam. If we get a three and out, we're going to run it again for 9 minutes down the field. It was honestly a very smart approach to playing Miami when I started watching the game. Breaking the second half, I was like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing. They're not going to let Cam come out here and do what he usually does.
And he actually fell in the Heisman odds after that game. He's down to, I think, the Travis Hunter should do it. I can't remember who
he's done, Hawk. He's done in the Heisman. Well, I think he's done.
But, I mean, that's so recent. Like, you're telling me on a week from Saturday, he goes out and throws 500 yards against – and you don't know what the other guys are going to do, but he goes out and throws 500 yards against Wake, and then it's the final game of the season, and they're at Syracuse, and he throws another 400 yards and four touchdowns. Like, to declare him done after one loss, I don't know. That seems a little foolhardy in my opinion. Just because it would be like declaring him the winner after the game prior, because he had such great stats. It's over. He's the winner. Like, why? Why would you declare him done when Georgia Tech was just able to keep him off the field?
Yeah, and I don't even blame the defense fully for losing that game. I thought there were so many points left. I thought it was bad coaching all around on both ends of the
field.
Don't
get me started.
But I thought in order for Cam to win the Heisman, Miami had to go undefeated. He had to prove that he could run the table. His numbers had to be great, but they didn't have to be gaudy. He just had to go run the table with the Hurricanes. And I think when you look at what Travis Hunter's doing on both sides of the football, how well Colorado's playing, and then you look at what Genty's doing with Boise State, I can't see. And the fact that Oregon's undefeated with Dylan Gabriel,
Isn't Genty hurt though?
Yeah, I think he's a little banged up. But bro, his numbers are crazy.
I want Genty. They need to get some tests on Genty. That boy is stupid. He goes for 200, and you're like, how many yards does he have? 200. This is crazy. Let's Dylan Gabriel, too.
Yeah.
No, and to Solana, again, this is what Solana does, other than the Heat. The Heat can lose by 40.
But that doesn't matter.
They won last night.
Everything. He's not done. Wake. So what is it? It'll be Wake, Syracuse, and then who are they playing? SMU or somebody?
Just Wake and Syracuse, and then it'll be the conference championship game.
So he goes out and throws for 350 in all three of those games, another 1,000 yards. Like, it's not done.
I would say it's far from over. Would have been. Yes. It's a great feather in your cap if you have an undefeated season and you're a great quarterback. Yeah. Like, yeah, that goes a long ways. But I don't think it's over.
Yeah, and they got to him. Remember the calm thing, the whole he doesn't get like Georgia Tech got to. Got to grabbing that leg and hitting them ankles a couple times, and he went to jumping around, which is understandable, but the game plan Georgia Tech played was extremely intelligent. That was just like, I'm not giving too many people credit, but like, yeah, they slowed that game to a snail's pace, and it was terrible, lame, Huck, with no 45, 48. They didn't want that. That's not the game they wanted to play. They wanted to play 25-23. That's the game they wanted.
Marlins have just made it official. They have hired Clayton McCullough as their new manager, 17th manager in Marlins history. Skip Schumacher, we barely knew you. We have a lot of stuff to get to today, and we only have 2 hours to do it. So we're going to do our best to navigate through till 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, we'll begin Game Day Uncensored. Brendan Tobin, Solana, Adam Beasley, Omar Kelly, They will get you ready for Monday Night Football tonight, Dolphins and Rams. So we have a lot to get to in a short period of time. So I guess we should get underway, huh? We'll do Headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
Joe Schad had an excellent tweet to put into context how important today's game is for the Miami Dolphins. If the Dolphins win tonight, they'll be one game out of an AFC playoff spot in the loss column. They'll improve to 3-6, just one game out of the playoff picture. If the Dolphins lose tonight, they'll be in position for the third overall pick in next year's NFL draft. So win, you're still kind of in the mix. Lose, and you're pretty much set up for a top five draft pick next year.
I'm just not that excited about tonight's game. Only because I actually think that the Dolphins can win, because I think they've got a talented team. Now, I don't know if Tyreek's going to play or not. They just don't do well on prime time.
No.
So I'm dreading tonight's game, because I know how I feel watching the Dolphins in prime time. And it's never fun. I never end up having fun watching them in prime time. I always look forward to it. And then I start watching them, and I never have any fun.
Hawk, I told you, 7 years ago, Matt Moore was the quarterback, and you got me a hookup at the Cheetah, and I watched the Ravens beat him by 59. And ever since then, I'm like, this primetime stuff sucks. Sean McVay, Matt Stafford, Puka Nacua is healthy, Cooper Kupp is healthy, DeMarcus Robinson's healthy, Tyrell Williams is healthy. Like, they have their entire squad, and we're questioning if people are playing. I don't feel good about tonight.
The Dolphins are not good in prime time, though. I am with you. I'm trying to look up their record in prime time.
I wish they were.
The tweet you just read: if I drive into the grass off the highway, my truck flips over. If I drive in the cement, like, I'll probably get home. That's the craziest tweet I've ever heard. Like, yes, if they lose, they're terrible. If they win, they're good. Come on, man. It's just, they're 2-6.
Well, if they win, though, it's not a loss. As lost as this season feels, they are right in the thick of it if they win tonight. They really are. They just are.
So 3-6 from 2-6 gives you a catastrophic jump in confidence.
Mathematically, it puts you in a much better position, because obviously it's a short season. 3-6, you are in striking distance. You're literally in striking distance. 2-7, it's pretty much donezo.
Crowder, these are the teams on the bubble right now. And by the way, we don't have to talk you into this. You think that tweet sucks? Hey, Joe Schad, Crowder thinks your tweet sucks.
And Joe is tight. I'll tell Joe to his face.
The Colts are on the bubble. They're the 8th seed right now. So top 7 seeds make the playoffs. The Colts are 4-6. Flacco's their starting quarterback. They looked bad yesterday. The Bengals are 4-6.
I can't imagine he will be for long, by the way.
Yeah. The Bengals are 4-6. The Jets are 3-7. The Patriots are 3-7. Miami is 2-6. They win tonight. They're 3-6. They're tied in the loss column with all the teams on the bubble. Broncos, and the Broncos are the team that you're looking at, 5-5 right now with two straight losses, as being a team that can be replaced in the wild card picture. The Dolphins have Las Vegas next week, and then I think they play the Jets twice as well. Like, yeah, it's possible, but you have to – I'm not saying it's probable.
You look at the teams and you go, I think the Bengals probably are the class of this lower class. But the Dolphins, again, if you want to believe what I believe they were at the beginning of the season, and now they've got Tua back. Now, again, Tyreek is a big question mark, so that one hangs over tonight's game. But – you know, obviously, had you stacked up a couple wins with Tua back, this would be a completely different story. They'd be in the driver's seat. That hasn't happened, but it's still not over. But I would say, like, just roster-wise, the Bengals and the Dolphins are the two best rosters of those bubble teams.
They just got to prove that roster can do what it did last year.
And I'm having a tough time getting there. I think they're better than the Rams. I'm just having a tough time getting there on the road in prime time. That's the big hang up for me.
Oh, it's crazy to say, if this was yesterday at 1 p.m., I'd be way more confident.
I'd have bet him. I would bet the Dolphins are back up to plus 2.5, and I want to bet them. And I know how I'm going to feel watching this game. I have too much experience.
I got Matt Stafford over a half a yard rushing. Just see, I want him to fall forward, QB sneak. It's a half a yard, Hawk.
I had CJ Stroud yesterday over 13.5 yards rushing. Dude ran for about 3.
18 inches. I can't get 19 inches out of Stafford.
Can get it out of me. So
I don't want it.
While
I pass.
So while the state of Florida fumbles terribly on the football field and the football pitch, thank God for the Florida Panthers. I mean, this Florida Panthers team is unbelievable. They were losing. They came back. They won. They beat the Flyers 4-3 in overtime. They host the Devils tonight. Is it tonight or tomorrow? I think tomorrow, right? And then Thursday as well. So back-to-back games against the Devils. But the Panthers keep winning. They're the class. You want to talk about the class? They're the class of the NHL.
I told you last week, they're better than they were last year. They won a Stanley Cup last year. They're better.
They actually play tomorrow, not tonight.
He said that.
Oh, okay.
Appreciate you. We appreciate you being you, Jimmy. Because he said tonight, but then he said, no, I think it's tomorrow. And then Dan, who's sitting next to you, nodded at him, yes, tomorrow. And then he said tomorrow and Thursday.
Well, maybe Jimmy's listening on delay. Jimmy, are you on delay?
He really doesn't listen much. He gets little bits and pieces, and then he just jams in, which we love. We've told him, please don't change.
Jim, you got on the jersey?
Yes, I do.
He's rocking the merino. That new Jimmy? I don't know if I ever saw you in that.
Hell, I have no new jerseys for merino.
I've worn this before.
I hope it's lucky.
Me too.
He wore it at his bar mitzvah.
And thank God for Nikola Jovic, gentlemen. Oh, this Nikola Jovic. Game winner last night versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. No Jimmy Butler. No problem. Go in there. Beat a Western Conference team, one of the best teams in the NBA. That's what the Heat do, man. That's what they do.
I was surprised. They were 8-point dogs yesterday. I live bet Minnesota when Minnesota was only a 3.5-point favorite because I'm like, no way the Heat are going to be able to hang on here. And then Minnesota, they were up by like 11 in the fourth quarter, somewhere around there. If they weren't up 11, they were up 8 with a chance to go up 11. And then all of a sudden, everything started going right. But this Niko Jovic, I'll give it to Spo. Spo realized that lineup needed a little shakeup. Took Niko out of the starting lineup. He looked good. That was probably his best game of the season.
Best game of his career, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think our little conversation about Niko Jovic was different about a week and a half ago. Now he's the savior of the city.
He was stinking it up in the starting lineup. He was.
Oh, okay.
He said it last night, too. He joined Jax in the winner's circle. He's like, I wasn't doing a good job in the starting lineup. Spo told me, don't worry. Like, my time will come. All it took was one day. That's it. One game, comes off the bench. He looked good. But no joke, like, the balls Eric Spoelstra has to draw up the game-winning play after you've lost 3 straight and you're down 2 for Niko Jovic is crazy.
And, man, by the way, it was a great play. Insane. It was just a great play. Spo is so good at that, which is why the other night with Jimmy Butler was so frustrating, because that was coming out of a timeout as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I'm like, Spo always has these great plays coming out of a timeout at the end of a game. You saw it last night. Like, that was brilliant.
Spo didn't draw it for Jimmy to throw it to Tyler out of bounds. That was a
that's
Jimmy.
That's what I'm
decision.
Saying. Like, it was so jagged, and that's never the way he calls up a play. It just, nothing went right there.
All right, guys, your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 right now in South Florida, partly what's cloudy.
You heard Fauci barking and Salada tried to mute himself.
I didn't see
he tried to act like it was a pregnant pause, but we all know what you were doing.
Man, put that damn dog outside, man. Dog.
No. Why can't you do a home broadcast without it sounding like a home broadcast ever? Why is it? Why is yours always
good? I was good. I fixed the echo.
Clanky,
no, I fixed the echo.
And dogs are barking, and you look like you're a hostage in front of a thing holding up a newspaper. I mean, you couldn't put anything. You couldn't tape a shirt up behind you or something.
I got rid of the echo. I put a much better broadcast setup here. I'm still working on my backdrop. No big deal. No big deal. It's AM radio. And my dog barked one time. That's never happened before on the show, ever.
But you're doing the show, the Game Day Uncensored show. That'll be live on video, right? People can stream that?
Right.
That's the backdrop you're using?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have another backdrop. I don't have another one.
Or a drag pop. But what I'm saying is, like, when you say a drag pop, when you say you're working on a new backdrop, like, what have you done? How are you working on it?
I have not done anything yet, but I have this idea.
You could have pulled out just a piece of paper and a magic marker, and you could have written "Go Dolphins," like anything.
little post-it note. Do a little post-it note.
Bunch of post-it notes for the next segment. I would like some post-it notes up behind you, even if they're blank.
Okay.
I just want post-it notes, but something behind you for the next segment.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I mean, Crowder's backdrop, it's just so good. Just a bunch of boxes of Crowder powder that he's waiting to sell. But, let me focus.
What about these game-worn Dolphin helmets? Or Lawrence Taylor helmet?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a fine backdrop. You can't complain about that. Do one of those faux backdrops. Do one of those video-created backdrops like Geno does at the Orange Bowl.
Geno's always in the Canes in the Orange Bowl or whatever.
Yep. There you go. Perfect.
What are you, a comedy show or something now?
Yeah.
Is it the improv?
A couple of one-liners for us. And there you go. A little cat. Cat's looking at you.
So now you got a courtyard or a backyard or something to put that dog in?
No, I do have a backyard, but a courtyard? What do you think? I live at a Marriott?
A little front area.
We gotta take a break because we have a lot of stuff to get to this afternoon, and time is going to run out quickly.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
What is life if you can't have arroz con pollo?
Hawk and Crowder.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's what Jordan McPherson wrote in the Miami Herald, Crowder, about the Hurricanes and the loss. So the number four Miami Hurricanes, not number four anymore, lost to Georgia Tech on Saturday, put a damper on a previously undefeated season. But as for the Hurricanes' chances to make the ACC championship game, which is December 7th in Charlotte, and potentially the 12-team college football playoff after that, both of those goals are still alive and well. With Pittsburgh getting upset Saturday, losing at home to an unranked Virginia team, Miami still has the inside track to get to Charlotte for the conference title game if it can win its final two conference games against Wake Forest, November 23rd. By the way, they announced that as a noon game today. And then the season finale at Syracuse on November 30th. So Jordan McPherson writes, how so? Well, Miami is one of three ACC teams with zero or one loss in conference play. The others are SMU and Clemson. SMU's final three conference games are Boston College, Virginia, and Cal. Clemson's final league game is Pitt this weekend. Should Miami win its final two games and go 7-1 in conference play, there are only two scenarios that would involve UM having to deal with any sort of tiebreaker to get into the ACC championship game, and the Hurricanes have the edge in both of those tiebreakers. So the two situations, SMU goes 8-0 in conference play, Miami and Clemson both end 7-1. Well, SMU and Miami would then be in the conference championship game. Since Miami and Clemson didn't play each other, the tiebreakers based on win percentage against common opponents. UM and Clemson have four common opponents, FSU, Wake Forest, Louisville, and Virginia Tech. In this scenario, Miami goes 4-0 against those teams, while Clemson lost to Louisville, so Miami gets the nod there. The only other scenario is SMU, Miami, and Clemson all go 7-1 in conference play. Since Miami, SMU, and Clemson did not play each other, the three-way tiebreaker scenario here would be similar to the one that I just mentioned, win percentage against all common opponents, and that would end up being SMU and Miami in the conference championship game. So bottom line, doesn't matter what SMU or Clemson does. If Miami wins their next two games, they're going to be in the ACC conference championship game. If they don't, then we got a whole different radio show to do.
I think that's easy. I think, you know.
I think so, too. You get that one loss. I'm telling you, there's always that hurdle. I feel like they can do it, and I'm very happy they still can control their own destiny.
Yeah. I hope they put a lot of people around Aronde Gaston Jr.
Holy
because he was
mackerel.
stupid balls the other night.
Did you see the touchdown catch that he had? First of all, he was player of the game. Syracuse lost, but he was player of the game. I think he had like 110 yards receiving and 8 catches, like –
offhand,
yeah,
spin it around. That was crazy. Yeah, like that whole, you know, they should learn a lot from what Georgia Tech did and the different style of games they have to play. Because I would say a lot of people they're going to play in the college football playoffs are going to try to slow that, do the same thing. It's on again right now, like ESPN2. I just walked out and was flipping through channels, and the game's on again, watching how they did it with a quarterback. I think Cam had 140 yards passing. The other quarterback was 4 for 4 for 16 yards. They were not going to.
And they were thrilled, by the way. They were thrilled with that.
Their game plan was, listen, we're going to run it over and over and over again. Sooner or later, we're going to bust one, and we're going to get the third and short. So I think, you know, Mario Cristobal, Guidry, Shannon Dawson, like they'll see that and say, okay, we need to adjust. So I do believe they win the ACC or easily go to the ACC championship game. And then you have to remember that Georgia Tech game when you get in the college football playoffs.
So it was what it was. We knew that there was going to be – we were fearful that there was going to be a stumble somewhere on the schedule. In my opinion, it came Saturday. They do control their own destiny. I think they can handle Wake at home. I am a little nervous of the final game of the season against Syracuse. Syracuse hasn't been great this season. But they can play decent football, and that'll be an interesting final game of the season. If that one's for all the marble, like if that one is the right to go to the ACC championship game, like that's an unbelievable game to end the season. And we've got vested interests, obviously, with OG Jr. playing there. But it could come down to that.
Hawk, Cal, V-Tech, Louisville, the games you love, 80 points scored. These 25, 22 games are what people are trying to get them into. 17, 20 is what everybody's
Cal game going. All day, all night.
The other team is losing to Miami if they play that Cal game. The other teams are going to see that. No, we can't go and shoot out with Cam Ward. We need to slow play this. What is pull him in the mud is a basketball, you know, phrase as well. Yeah, no, slow this thing down. Shoot with 1 second left on the clock every single time. Don't give him 13 possessions. I don't want to say it broke the code on UM, but Georgia Tech showed a lot of these teams how you need to play this Mario Cristobal team.
It is, though, you know, when you think about it, the shootouts. Isn't Sunday Buffalo and KC
in
the NFL? That's coming up this Sunday. Oh, I'm so excited for that game. Yeah. That's a late game, too, right?
I think it's a 4:15 game, but it's the only game at 4:15.
Oh, really?
That's
going to be so great, man. I love that game.
Buffalo's going to try to pull them in the mud.
Yeah, I agree. That game always ends up being 45-44. I can't wait for that game. We got to take a quick break here because, again, we do have an abbreviated show today, and I want to make sure that we get everything in. So we'll take a quick break. We're going to come back. We still have another segment to go here in the 2 o'clock hour.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Somebody texts in, how is it possible the most successful and famous person on the show does not know how to unmute their microphone or keep their teeth in?
I let Jesus take the wheel.
Hawk and Crowder.
Just based on the conversation at the beginning of the show, Crowder, I'm guessing you are not picking the Miami Dolphins to win tonight or betting them plus 2.5?
No, I already got it in.
Did you bet the Rams?
I bet the Rams. Yeah, I got it at 2.5. I'm betting the Rams minus 2.5. Just West Coast trip, prime time. It just seems a little too much. And McVay, is Mike McDaniels plus, you know what I'm saying? Comes from the same tree, does the same stuff, has just, I wouldn't say comparable weapons, but has more weapons because of Puka Nacua, Robinson, who went crazy last week, and Cooper Kupp. I said it earlier in the week. I said it last week. Who in the hell is going to cover all these receivers? Because Jalen Ramsey is going to shut down somebody, and then there's two other guys that can play ball. I don't like this matchup at all for the Dolphins.
I'm thinking about – now, I'll tell you in the next hour. I mean, I got obliterated this weekend gambling. I started – it all went downhill. Tuesday, I had the Harris Walls parlay. That didn't cash. But I have not had a winner since. When I say I got obliterated this weekend, here's how I think I might make it all back tonight. I think I might bet my entire bankroll on Tua over 5.5 yards rushing.
Let's go.
The only thing that gives me some pause is, do they say to him, bro, it's prime time. You cannot run. Because when you run in prime time, it becomes a national story. Next thing, you're on Oprah and Dr. Phil. And so is it possible that they just say, under no circumstance can you move forward with the ball?
They can say it, but we've seen it in a couple games. He sees that hole. It's 3rd and 4. He got to get 4.5, and he takes off. I got my parlays. I got a Rams minus 2.5 and over 49 plus 225. And then I did just a silly one. I got Tyreek over 70.5, DeMarcus Robinson over 28.5, Cooper Kupp over 66.5, and Matthew Stafford over 0.5 yard rushing for plus 1,400.
That Stafford leg is going to be the leg that costs you that parlay. That Stafford leg, the one that you think is the easiest one, that dude does not look to move.
He never runs, but my thing is one little quarterback sneak.
One little tush push,
and I'm hitting. But yeah, right. I don't, and I'm a Dolphin fan, but I just don't see the path to victory tonight.
I think they're a better team. I really do, and I'm with you on the receivers. They have better receivers. I just think the Dolphins, when they're clicking, and you haven't even really seen them click once this season.
No,
when the Dolphins are clicking, I think they're a better team. I am hung up on prime time on the road. Doesn't end well when it's at home. I am hung up on prime time. They just seem to come up short in prime time.
Cam Smith, Kader Kohu, Marcus May, Jordan Poyer. Like, they're not coverage guys.
It's a lot to ask of those guys.
Yeah, like, Jalen is a dog. Jalen's going to the Pro Bowl. But the other guys, I just see McVay sitting back and saying, oh, Puka Nacua is on Cam Smith? Okay, watch this. And he's going to scheme up some crazy stuff for it.
I'm on Craycraft overs tonight. Anyway, we'll talk about it in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll go through some of the props for tonight. We'll get headlines as well. Don't go anywhere.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Hot sauce flavored hard seltzers.
Disgusting, and I'm black.
Terrible.
And he is black. I can confirm if you don't have the video feed.
Hawk and Crowder.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.